We're all sorted. Rightio. Got my Bible out. And that, I think that's me. Right, let's have a word of prayer and then we will begin. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. And Lord, even though it's a bit wintry outside, we've still got your sun shining on the inside, Lord, and we covet your presence this evening. Please be one of our number. I know we're a bit low on numbers this evening, Lord, but I just pray you please for your good hand upon us. And Lord, we cling to your precious promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you'll be there in the midst. Just thank you, Lord, for loving us. And Lord, we're not just mindful of ourselves this evening. There's Brother Stan and the folks up in Bangor. There's the folks on the Maboy Road, especially the Diamond family at this time as they mourn the loss of a daughter and a cousin and I think perhaps a mother as well, Heather Diamond. So please, Lord, I pray for your good hand upon them. For Stephen and Anne Marie, for Noel and Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, very especially, Lord, for Alan this evening, and of course for Pearl. Please, Lord, I pray you bless and keep those that have taken time to turn up at the foot of the cross. Please be with our missions outreaches. I pray you too, Lord, for a great conviction for those that lead our countries, for those that, Lord, that oppose you, even to their own detriment, Lord, I pray that you would convince them in their hearts and minds. Lord, we just love you and thank you and pray you, Lord, please, that you would take and use this time that we've set aside, even just to spend it in your presence. And we ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Do you know what we'll do? We'll take hymn number 19. Did we sing hymn number 19 on Sunday night? Did I pick that? We'll pick hymn number 36 as our first hymn of the evening. Hymn number 36 in the big book, Christ Arose. I still feel a wee bit bad about forgetting all about Christians. It's amazing the things that stick with you. Yes, indeed. Christ Arose.
He arose a victor from the dark domain.
All right, we're going to switch books. If you would like to take the little black book and turn to number 14, hymn number 14, we will, if you're able, we'll stand and sing How Deep the Father's Love. How Deep the Father's Love. We're starting How Deep the Father's Love again.
Just start with the first
verse. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch's treasure.
Except for you, Norman. If you're fit, brother, you come up and bring us the read.
This evening's reading is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but not I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorifying, ye have compelled me. I ought to have been commend of you, for in nothing am I behind, and very chiefest apostle thought I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds, for what it is therein, wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. For be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly beloved for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envies, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which has been committed. Amen.
Amen. Right. Thank you for that Bible reading. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Norman, for the suggestions and the execution of. We're going to take a few prayer requests right now, if you have any to give. Anybody have any prayer requests? Any special prayer requests? I can't hear you, Steve. You'll have to text me or let me know whenever the thing's off. You'll have to keep that for later. We're of course remembering Heather Diamond. Did that go back down into this?
Yeah.
Please pray for Heather Diamond and her family. She was killed as a result, I think, of a house fire Sunday there. So please do remember her and pray for her family. I know maybe you don't... Maybe it doesn't mean quite so much to you when you don't know the people, but that's the wee woman in the bungalow. The big bungalow just at on the right-hand side, the last one, is before you hit the main road. That's Carol Diamond. It's her cousin that don't know all the ins and outs of it, but please do pray for the family at this time. Any other prayer requests? Don't think there's any. We'll get to Steve and Pat at the end of the service, and we'll make sure we make a note of those. Frank will be travelling home in about two and a wee bit weeks. He'll be back with us for about a month. Please do remember that. We miss Ling this evening. I think she has a lecture this evening for her English professional English exam. So please do remember that. We miss Will, of course, Christine. Pat and Steve, we sort of half miss them because they're virtually with us this evening. But there's Esther too, and I'm sure each and every one of us has plenty of prayer requests. I still appreciate your prayers for the results of the blood tests that were taken on Monday. It's supposed to be ready next Monday. Well, at least the doctor will be ready next Monday to talk me through them and see what's what. So that's about that. If there's anything else, please let me know. Any private prayer requests there, Steve? Okay, I can definitely make sure that those are taken. Any here? Any private prayer requests? Okay. Well, then, I'm sure Esther does. I do. Monica does. Ling, I'm sure. That's everybody again. All right. All right. Last wee bit of business, I contacted the Presbyterian Church. Everybody got a copy of the email, didn't they? Did everybody see the email that I sent out? Did I send it out in Facebook?
In the Messenger group.
You'll have to join Facebook, Norman. Become part of the crowd. Basically, we got a letter from a communication from the Presbyterian Church asking if we would be prepared to waive any septic inspection or energy conservation certification for the church. And I thought, we haven't dealt with that in all the 23 plus years that I have been here. We're not going to start worrying about it now. But I passed on then at that time, after a little bit of encouragement, I put together our concerns about the actual costs involved in acquiring the land and the deal that we were supposed to be getting of basically a quarter of the list value for the land. So I have pushed it back their way, the land being worth less than £10,000 and pro rata according to their original offer, we should only be paying between £2,000 and £3,000. So we will see how it goes. I would ask for your prayers in that regard, really. People just have a good heart. Although I am a little bit disappointed with the turn of events that brought this about. Let's just pray about it. Amen. Anything else? I know Esther's traveling today. Is she coming back again tonight? That's the plan. Is Marky staying the night again then? Or he's just being a young fella and driving from Bangor to Derry and back. He drove up to Bangor today, or over to Bangor, and then he's driving back to Derry and then back to Bangor. He'll be putting in about 250 plus miles in the car. Good for him. He's young. Good life experience. Do pray for him as he travels as well and the folks up there. All right, Christy, would you pray for us, please, and then we'll sing another song.
Lord, we're thankful for another day that we can come into your house, Lord, meet together and worship you, Father. Bless this time, Lord, be with each one. Remember the prayer request, Lord, especially those private. We ask for the Diamond family, Lord, for a touch of comfort, for salvation amongst them, Lord. We ask that you deal in hearts and minds here amongst us, Lord. Please just bless the preacher, guide him in your word and among his thoughts, Lord, and open up our hearts and minds to please this evening. Bless each one that will listen later day, mm-hmm. Save the lost, Lord. Draw back the backslidden. Remember our countries and lands later, we pray. Lord, help this church to continue to be a light in this city as well. We pray for the closure of abortion laws and clinics, Lord, in this land. Lord, for stopping the homosexual marriage, Lord, laws as well. Be with our missionaries, Lord, watch over them, provide their needs today. Lord, remember the church and the deed and the buying of the land. I pray that you make provision there, Lord, and just intervene, Lord, please. pray, take victory, Lord, and just show, Lord, that, Lord, that you are working with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Christy. All right, let's take our big hymn books again and turn to 102, was it, John? 102. 102, He Hideth My Soul. If you're able, let's stand as we sing, He Hideth My Soul. Seated. I was just debating, you know what, not about sitting, I thought, well, we go for three hymns before we open our Bibles and we go for four, and I was just thinking, do you know what, There's plenty enough going on in the world, tearing everything that's good down, so why don't we just take a wee moment and praise the Lord a bit longer. In 2:45, we've still another one to sing out of the Black Book, don't we? But we'll sing that as our closing hymn. 2:45, the old account was settled. Put our hymn books away and take our Bibles out this evening and turn, if you would, to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. And I want to spend a few minutes this evening on the subject of happily or happy ever after. Isaiah 65. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's all important. It all is important, but it's all important to the message this evening. But Isaiah 65, verse number 1, speaking on the subject of happy ever after. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually, to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens, and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves, and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into your bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your father together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, and they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of happy ever after, and I would like to take this evening verse number 24 and 25 as our text. And we'll have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time that we've set aside to have our attentions drawn to Isaiah 65 and all the other parts of your word that this connects to and speaks of and reminds us of. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be one of our number. You would walk up and down the hall and you would speak to Christy and and John and Norman and Monica and myself and Pat and Steve and whomever else would be listening to these at whatever other time. Lord, you know the messages have all come together because of two or three or more that have gathered together in your name. Please, I pray you bless the preaching and teaching and studying and memorizing and the applying of your word to your children. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your patience and long suffering. And I pray, Lord, your good hand upon all of us. Amen. All right. Amen. I don't know if you noticed as you were looking through this or reading through it with me, it seems to be pretty much the first half, almost up until verse number 15 of this portion of God's word is basically God giving, I think I've heard it called sometime, God reading the children of Israel their pedigree. You ever heard people saying that? In other words, just pointing out exactly all the things that they've done wrong and reminding them that there are going to be consequences for all of the things that they have done wrong. And the Lord doesn't pull any punches. The Lord spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah preached it faithfully. I am surprised he got as far as 66 chapters. I am sure in many other parts of the Bible, and goodness, there was Stephen. He got one message preached, and they stoned him to death. So Isaiah was most certainly touched by the Lord and divinely preserved, but he lived in a people that should have been exactly the same. But instead, they were out worshipping false gods, and they were in the mountains and in the gardens, literally even amongst the tombs. They were doing things which they shouldn't have been doing. They weren't honoring the Lord, and they weren't following the laws that he had set down. And he said, you know what? God said, the way you behave and the things that you've done is like smoke in my nose of a fire that burneth all the day. Has anybody here ever gotten smoke in their nose? Ever been sitting by an old campfire and someone threw something green into it and all it did was throw up smoke? And you get a mouthful of that and you can taste that literally for the rest of the day or until you blow your nose or wash it out or do something. And God said, that's the way the things that you say you're doing for me, that's the effect that it has on me. Many times in the Word of God, God talks about our prayers. Talks about our good deeds, the preaching that we would do for to people, the witnessing that we would do, it's not all about living a good, clean life. That's as a result of being saved. It won't save you. But being a Christian, how that is a sweet-smelling savour. Like Monica was cooking a wee bit of lamb today, and we nipped out for a quick chore around about 11 o'clock, and whenever we came back you could smell it at the door. She said, that smells nice. And there's something to be said for smelling food cooking whenever you come into a house. In fact, there was one point in the morning I actually lifted it up to smell it, and she said about a minute later, I can smell it now. And then the lid clattered back down on it. Those are the things that God loves to smell, good things. But have you ever, heaven forbid you ever do it, if you'll excuse the pun, have you ever stepped on something someone should have picked up and put in a little bag and put in the doggy bin and not known it, but walked into the car, and then you've got all the hot air blowing and you think, what is that awful smell? And the first thing you do is you check your feet, the next thing you do is throw your shoes out. But that's the way God considers our wicked deeds. That's the way, and I'm talking about Christians here, God's people, sometimes the way we behave is not appropriate. And that's the way God considers the things that we do that aren't appropriate. A lot of times there is a coming back from them. As we read here, the Lord was more than not happy to, but he was willing to chasten his people. He would pare them right down to the, goodness, to the quick, that there would only be a few of them left. He said there, you might be terribly oppressed. In fact, it even says at one point that the sword would chase after them. There might only be a remnant left, but there will always be a remnant left. As we then hit about the balancing point in this chapter, we start to see a change. We start to see God promising to bless those that pursue him. He talks about a new heaven and a new earth. He talks about people being glad and not even remembering the old earth. Now, I don't know if that means the Lord will remove our memories of how things used to be here, or that without our sin nature and with only our new nature, we only want to consider good things, that we just don't want to even think about those things whenever we are in the new earth. But God says there won't be any more tears or fears or anything like that anymore. And the last couple of verses that, or the few verses that really grabbed my attention, and Pat and Steve and I actually were reading this as part of a wee Bible reading there on Tuesday. And there shall no more thence be an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. In other words, it's talking about a great extension to life. It says, the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And that's worth considering. God's provision for those that love him is immense, but his judgment and conviction on those that don't is also very sore on a soul. It goes on to say about people actually putting work into things and getting the rewards out of them, and it's nice to know that. And at the very, very end, it talks about the wolf and the lamb feeding together, and the lion and the bullock eating straw together. And one last verse, verse 24, let's just read 24 and 25. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And to me, that is really, that is talking about an idyllic time, a time when the enmity that creatures have for each other will all be gone. And I would say if it's gone for the creatures, it'll be gone for mankind as well. And there'll be no Black Lives Matter, and there'll be no Muslim or Protestant or Catholic or Hindu. There'll be saved people, and that'll be that. There will be no strife and no contentions. The reason I say that is because the wolf and the lamb, or traditionally, you need a dog to keep the wolves from eating and destroying the lambs, and the same, you need hedges and fences to keep the lions out of the bullpen, if that's even the right term. But now, whenever the Lord's ruling and reigning from Jerusalem after the millennial reign, and when everything is just perfect, there is not going to be any enmity. There will be peace. Now, I know that there's a lot going on in the world right now, and it certainly doesn't seem like a prelude or a run-up to this idyllic world that God is speaking of. A place where people walk so closely with God that even as they form the thoughts in their minds, that God is hearing them and answering them. Remember, like it said in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This is actually talking about a closer relationship where they were just thinking things almost to God and he was hearing them. And that's certainly not today. And it's certainly not in this world where the sin nature has such a great hold on everything. This doesn't seem like a world that is in control, but I want for you to remember as you read the Bible, as you go to church, as you put your money in the plate, as you sing the songs, as you say your prayers, as you even share a wee bit of the scriptures as you get opportunity, and even take time to explain the scriptures to those that'll sit with you, that the Lord has lovingly prepared us, or is preparing us, for things to get worse and worse before they get better. The portion of scriptures we read already describe people that think that they'll get away with everything. They can do anything that comes into their heads, and this is even saved souls I'm talking about, but that's not the case. But people think that. You know what they call it when you think something that isn't true? You call that a delusion. It's not true. You might think it's true, but as many people would say right now, your truth is just as much a lie as any other blatant lie if it isn't the actual truth. There's no such thing as your truth. It's what you believe. But if you believe differently to the Bible, you're believing a lie. Now, I don't know about you. My memory was never... The only thing my memory was ever any good at was video games. Do you get it? The only thing my memory was ever in. Video games, computers, and the Bible. And I really don't have a big problem remembering things to do with those. And this was before I went into hospital, but since I have come out, my memory is awful. And don't forget, and someone speak nicely to this visitor that we have. I remember that laugh. But the Lord's been preparing us with all the things that you do. And it is a preparation. It's a breaking of the old man to put your money into the plate, because the old man doesn't want to be part. Why should I give my money away for free? That's the little voice that's going away in the back of your head. But every song that you sing is a song that you can call back to your remembrance when the world is playing the most awful filth in your ears. Every word that you read or verse that you commit to memory is like a bullet in a magazine in your head, ready to fire when you need it. Every sermon that you hear is a slightly different way of looking at things to what you would normally look at them. These are things that are there to prepare us. In fact, do you know what Jesus said to the disciples? He said, look, I'm telling you these things before they happen, so that when you do, you can be ready. You can know that I'm God, first of all, but more than that, you're ready. I'll tell you how the world, the flesh, and the devil uses that. With all the things that you're hearing right now in the news about the Great Reset, and there's various phrases that keep being used. And these phrases are being constantly introduced into the vocabulary, into the common usage, so that people will be ready for when it actually happens. And they'll get all bent out of shape about it now, and they'll get over it, so that when it does happen, people will meekly, like little lambs being led to the slaughter, accept them. God knows that's how we work. That's how they work shutting down companies. I was there when they shut down Desmond's, and they leaked a few rumours. Desmond's is closing down. People worried. People grieved. People got bent out of shape. And then a month or two later, they started putting the plan into action and laying people off. And people had already grieved over it, and as far as they were concerned in their heads, it was a done deal. The world, the flesh, and the devil has been using this for years to destroy people and take advantage of it. The Lord has been using it for 6,000 years to prepare us to meet these things with our minds and our dignity intact and ready to oppose them or ready to accept them and work around them, whatever the Lord enables us to do. We need these things. Even saved souls. I had a wee bit of a thought. What makes a saved soul a Christian? What makes a saved soul a Christian is behaving like Christ. Doesn't matter whether you behave like Christ or not and you're saved, you're going to heaven, but you would be far better served by behaving like Jesus if you're a Christian. By behaving the way the Lord did, being in the right place, using the right words, doing the right things, having a good attitude about you, keeping your eyes on the Lord, being joyful because you're saved and you're going to heaven, and everything else is gravy. But when saved souls don't get fed properly, they don't know how to behave, and the number of Christians dwindles and dwindles. Never taught, never listened, never were challenged, never trusted in the Lord, and never grew. And it's no small wonder in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 3, it talks about there being traitors in the pulpits. Ladder climbers in religious institutions going along hand in hand with the ladder climbers in every other sphere of life. There's a lot of devilment going on in the world today. But the Lord told us about all of these things so that we could be ready. And the Lord said, fix your heart and mind on me so that when the world steals something away from you, you can still stand because the foundation of your life is who? Is Jesus Christ. For no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think that is. I think it is. And it goes on to talk about works. The only way you'll be ready whenever everything changes in the world is if you have something solid to stand on. Otherwise, you will be swept away. You'll not have to run and hide under the stairs whenever the pandemic hits. You don't have to be afraid because the Lord already warned us, and this church has not gone short of preaching on wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. We have been warned. Or what about, do you get your feelings hurt when people call you names like Holy Joe or Jehovah's Witness or Moses whenever you're out telling people about their need for salvation? And I'm not going to do that anymore because my feelings were hurt. When people say that, we laugh at them, don't we? My feelings were hurt whenever he called me X, Y, and Z. Did your mommy never tell you sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? How tender-hearted have people gotten in the past generation? That saying, that looking at them, he looked at me in the wrong way and I was offended. Or a policeman coming to the door, I think it was of an ex-policeman, and said, we are here to check your thinking. This is the world that we live in. This is the 1984 in the novel 1984. But or what about the bewilderment that many people feel because their church closed down? What about it? Have you felt that? You're probably thinking, no, but I wish our church had closed down so that I could lie in on a Sunday and take Wednesdays off and watch TV or play video games. There are people that are actually hurting because their churches have closed down, or they have been closed out of their churches for no reason other than there's a bad flu going about. And I'm not saying there's not some people, many people that have lost their lives. I think 2 million people worldwide have lost their lives. That is a fraction of a percent. And I am not making little of that. But all these things were spoken of in the Word of God, and we should have been ready, better prepared to face it. Do you ever wonder how people manage? I'm going to show my ignorance. How many years did the First World War last? Was it 7? 5? 4? What about the Second World War? 6? People are literally freaking out because we have been in a semi-lockdown for a year. And we have been suffering so badly that the price of video cards is nearly doubled. Yes. We can't get out to the shops, but we've got Amazon, eBay, AliExpress, GearBest, Wish, Next, Every single storefront on the street has a web page on the internet, and it only takes your fingers to do the walk, and we are suffering for Jesus. Not. We can walk the streets. We can eat what we want. We have no hardship whatsoever, and yet we're gurning and complaining. The Bible says we shouldn't be like that. Jesus told us these things would happen. He said, because of wicked men, because of iniquity being entertained in people's hearts and minds, that wicked, that the love of many would grow cold, that's Christians, but wicked men would get even worse. And we see that. But we are not to dwell on those things. We are to dwell on God and view those things and say, yes, God, that is happening just like you said it would. I am continuing on with you. That's for the first 14 or 15 verses of this. But I want to remind you that God says, we win. The last couple of verses tell us of a time whenever we're not just walking and talking with God, our thoughts are even intertwined. Before we've finished speaking, God says he will answer the prayers or he will hear the prayers. We're talking about a time of peace on every hand. We're talking about a time, it says in Revelation 20, where it is the complete end of sin and the influence of sin after the great white throne of judgment. We're talking about a time when the New Jerusalem, I don't know if anybody here ever watched Star Trek, and I don't mean anything bad, but it talks about it coming down as a bride adorned for her husband, a cube, 1,200 miles on an edge. 1,200 miles. That's bigger than any Borg cube that ever turned up on Star Trek, let me tell you. And enough space for every single soul that has ever lived to have a mansion 200 meters by 200 meters by 200 meters. Do you know how big that is? Does anybody know how tall the ceiling is here? It's about 3.5 meters. Can you imagine a 200 meter tall building? How many floors? 3 or 4 meters tall. That's 50 stories tall with ceilings this size. There's mansions in heaven waiting for us. There's the fellowship of God Almighty. It'll not be a case of God, thank you for all that you've done for us. We will quite literally be able to run up and hug the Christ that gave his life for us. To see God face to face, I think it was Jeremiah that said, with my own eyes, see God and thank him. And we will be doing it with tears coming down our faces. We'll be doing it laughing. We'll be doing it, oh goodness, we'll be having the time of our lives. Might even get introduced to the angels, the troops of angels that we kept busy with Christ provisioning and interceding for us. And of course, all of those that have loved the Lord and went into eternity before us. That's the happy ending. No more tears. No more fears. Thankfully, no more aches or pains. Bible says when we see Jesus, we'll be like him. And the Lord was beaten to a bloody pulp. Between the beatings and the weapons and his beard being plucked off and the treatment that he received and the nails in his hands. And yet, whenever he was seen of his disciples just 3 days later, he was completely restored except for the marks that we put in his hands and his feet and in his side. We win. I think Christy mentioned it on Sunday evening. The war has been won. Battle for men's souls, of course, goes on. But the devil was defeated on the cross of Calvary. He lost. But he's the worst of losers. And what do? They want to take as many people with them as possible. We have a happy ending. We should actually look cheerful whenever we come to church. We should be thanking the Lord. And I know it's not all dancing a jig and happy times, but we should from time to time for all the things that he has done for us and prepared for us. And do you know what? He's even got a purpose for us right here and now. To preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he said to do. It is a happy ever after. For there's not going to be marriage anymore, so you'll be done with me then. You'll have peace and quiet. There'll not be any dusting in heaven, because dust is just a sign. That's little bits of you flaking off and drying up and landing on the furniture. And that's a sign of aging, of death. And there's not going to be any of that in heaven. So dusting's out the door. It doesn't mention anywhere about leaves blowing in through the door when you open them up. So I'm assuming hoovering's out the door as well. It doesn't talk about having to change your robes of righteousness or them ever getting dirty, because they're Christ's and his righteousness is never affected by anything. There's no washing up to do, no ironing to do, and no drying to do. There will be no decay. There will be no more painting of windows or replacing them with plastic windows. There'll be no more repointing bricks or fixing tiles and roofs. Everything will be absolutely perfect. And we will have a time that's so great that we will never get over it and never be done with it. We will get to serve the King of Kings forever and ever. And you know what? We will be like veritable supermen, indestructible, unstoppable, and willing and obedient to serve the Lord our God like never before. Because we can see and understand at last just exactly why. It is a happily ever after. The devil gets locked up. Sadly, every soul that chose to follow him gets locked up with him. They get a holdover time in hell until the end of the great white throne of judgment, at which point they're thrown into the lake of fire. Where the beast and the false prophet already have been for at least 1,000 years. And everything made over anew. There'll be nothing like it. I think the verse of scripture that comes to mind right now is, "Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him." And any descriptions or efforts to describe the peace and the joy and the beauty and the contentment that God has for us in heaven would be so inadequate. It would be like trying to hold a conversation about nuclear physics with a 1-year-old. We win, friends. There is a happy ever after. Do you know that the most popular films in Hollywood, do you know what's special about them? They have a happy ever after. Because deep down inside, all of us want things to end well. And God gives us the recipe. In Romans 8:28, he says, "You know what? There's a happy ever after for you too. If you love the Lord and you are the called according to his purpose. If you love him, if you trust him as your savior and you do what he says, there's a happy ever after for you too." God bless you. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time. Hey, there's one more song to sing, Mrs. Bradfield. Which one was that you picked? Number? It wasn't me, it was Norman. Number 35. "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Hymn number 35 in the Black Book. 69 to the Shame, and verses 4.
Tell it on the mountain that Jesus
Thank you for your good time, folks. God bless you. Christy, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, please, if you would.
Lord, we thank you again for this day, this time, Lord, for the words preacher passed to us this evening, Lord, for the victory that you have given each one of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, that we do have a hard labor after waiting for us. But Lord, let us not forget to share that with those around us. Lord, that souls get saved and inherit that as well. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Lord, for like-minded brethren and the church to worship freely in this land. Go with us, Lord, I pray every heart strength and here amongst us, Lord, that you would continue to guide in your will and use each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Folks, we are dismissed. Tip toes, tap elbows, and do all that good stuff.
Would you be good?